Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Luke Meduna with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. Luke is kind of like the big games manager for them. Is that anywhere close to your real title, Luke?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, big game program manager. You missed one word, so you're pretty close.
Okay, not bad. I quit. I'm going to go home now. Quit on a high note. We're going to be talking about deer today, folks, and Luke is the guy that kind of overlooks that. First question I've got is, what's the general conditions of the deer herds in Nebraska today?
So far, pretty good. I think our deer numbers are in kind of a good place. We're bringing some of them down, so we've got a little lower depredation issues, while we've still got pretty decent, huntable numbers of deer. In that regard, so we're kind of in that, I'd say a little bit of a sweet spot there. Obviously, there's going to be places where there's still a few too many and places where people obviously would like to see more. So,
right. I'm one of the always like to see more people.
Yeah.
let's kind of split them between whitetail and mule deer. Specifically, how's the whitetail herd population in Nebraska? And are there any estimates on total numbers?
Yeah, so, right now the whitetails we think are doing really pretty good. We don't calculate estimates for our deer population, in part because, if we did, then we still got to figure out what that number is that we want, and then we'd, argue about both numbers in the end. So we really don't work with population estimates. We work more off of the social tolerance side of it. So, in that regard, whitetail numbers are doing pretty good. They kind of keep expanding across the western part of the state. We keep seeing them pop up in traditional mule deer areas, and so that's why we've been pretty aggressive with antlerless whitetail permits across a lot of the West.
That's actually one of my more fun seasons, is the antlerless season.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that has to do with everybody I'm hunting with. We're just looking to have a nice hunt, put a little venison in the freezer. Nobody's holding back trying to look for trophies, it's kind of a more of a fun hunt, I guess I'd call it.
Yeah.
What we've done for the past 10-12 years is I've been kind of the de facto hunt boss for the group I hunt with, so I dictate what type of weapon will be used.
Yeah.
And one year we did like all, slug guns only. Another year we did pistols only. Another years it was lever action rifles, iron sights only. And then a couple years ago we had one. It had to be World War II or older military service weapons. And that was an eclectic looking gun rack that year.
Yeah, no kidding.
But we have a lot of fun doing it. Talking more toward the mule deer, we've got some of those special mule deer conservation areas out there. How are we doing with those? Are we gaining mule deer population?
I would say yes and no. Some of it, when we first instituted that and were really conservative with our mule deer tags, we saw our mule deer numbers really, really climb there through the early 2010 all the way up to, 2017, 2018. But then, with that came a number of depredation issues and we were asked by the landowners to increase our antlerless mule deer harvest, which we've done, and we're in the process of backing off on that. So it's helped. The primary purpose of that, the MDCA, is to help us well, for one, it kind of does put a focus and an emphasis on mule deer in those areas. But it also helps us manage and limit some of the statewide harvest or the statewide permit harvest of mule deer bucks in those areas. Because historically, with all the, statewide buck permits, a large percentage of them went into, particularly the Frenchmen in areas like that. So it helps us manage that harvest on some of those statewide permits that may not be limited.
Okay. Well, let's do a quick run through the regulations. First of all, what are the various seasons? I mean, we have multiple seasons in Nebraska, which I think is
great. Right, yeah. Our archery season is going on right now.
Right now, yeah.
September 1st and runs through December 31st. Our regular firearm, oh man, should have that right in front of me. I think it starts the 12th, or the 12th through the 20th this year.
That would be about right of November, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then our muzzleloader season runs the whole month of December. Yeah, I guess right. I looked it up. It's November firearm is November 12th to the 20th.
Very good.
And of course, we've got the River Antlerless, which is the 1st through the 15th of October, which is a antlerless firearm season on private lands in that
right.
River Antlerless unit. And then our late firearm antlerless runs January 1st to the 15th in 2023.
Yeah, that's the one that we will generally do, the group I hunt with. We generally do the November season and then back in camp for that late firearms antlerless season. And just have a ball. That
yeah.
I think every one of us is far enough along in our hunting career that if we get a deer, great. If we don't, great. You know,
yeah.
We're out there just more to, you know, be with your buddies and have a good time, experience a little bit of nature.
Yeah, good.
As far as what do you need to legally hunt deer? You know, obviously a permit, but what else you?
Yeah, you need your permit and a habitat stamp. Those are the permit requirements. Then obviously, if you're in the firearm season, you need the, you know, the 400 square inches on your head, back and chest,
right,
of blaze orange. You know, and obviously the you got to meet the legal weapon requirements for each of the seasons. Other than that, I mean, and permission on private land. That's the other big one.
That's yeah, generally a big one every year. That the legal energy is can sometimes be a big one. 900 foot-pounds at 100 yards for rifles, and I think it's 450 at 50 or 400 or 450 at 50 yards for handguns.
Yeah, 400. Yep.
400, and I am a big handgun hunter. Love to do that. So, you know, without getting down into the specifics, if you're shooting a 357 or bigger, you're probably covered.
Yeah.
You ever do any handgun hunting, Luke?
I haven't. That's one of the few ones that I've not done. I hunt pretty much everything else.
Well, between me and Mr. Rollinson there in your office, we're going to have to get you out to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know he does a bunch of that.
Yep. Another one that they just put in, made legal a couple years ago, was spear hunting. Have you ever done that?
Yeah. I haven't. And I don't think there's not a lot of Nebraska. I'm not alone in that. There's only a handful of people attempting that. So
I've attempted it a couple times, and by the time I get in position and draw back to get ready to throw, I think every deer within 10 acres knows where I'm at. And
yeah,
obviously I've not been successful.
Yeah.
The only time I've halfway been successful was doing it with hog hunting.
Okay.
And I've taken some hogs with in other states with spears, and that's quite a challenge. Deer permits, what's the status on them, and are they still available?
Yeah, we've got there's a lot of deer permits still available right now up on our website. Some of them are starting to get sold out, some of those high-demand ones. The real high-demand ones were gone a long time ago, but most of there's only a few of the season choice permits that are actually sold out at this point. Most of them are still available. A lot of the November firearm are still available, and obviously, you know, most of our statewide permits are as well.
Now, with deer, that's one of the seasons that still requires you, the November rifle season, firearm season, that still requires you to actually go to a check station. Is that correct?
Right, yeah. Our November firearm, during the nine-day season, if you kill any deer, whether it's firearm or archery or any of that, you have to take it to a check station during that time.
Okay, and then for the other seasons, you can use the telecheck.
Right.
That is that telecheck is handy.
Yep, sure is.
It was one of our late antlerless seasons, the first time I ever used that. And, you know, we'd got our deer field dressed for the evening, got them hung so they could cool, and we're sitting in camp and going, well, heck, I can go check my deer now on my phone. We had cell coverage, and that's pretty handy.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
As far as the physical check stations, where can you find a list for that?
We've got a couple places. There's a list that comes with the deer regulations. And obviously those can be found at any one of our offices as well as our website. And then there's also a pretty good app in our maps portion of our website that's an interactive map that you can scroll in and locate them that way.
Okay. One question I forgot to ask earlier when we were talking about the deer populations dealt with, have we seen any signs or increases in things like CWD or EHD for the deer diseases?
On CWD, when we've been surveying, which I think we're rotating kind of through your neck of the woods this year and out west in the panhandle, every time we sample it continually just a slow increase. So we kind of expect to see a little bit more each time we sample. We try to rotate around the state every 5 years. With that, just trying to gauge that prevalence within mm-hmm. within the deer herd. On the EHD side, you know, as you know, that's kind of drought related, and so years like
right.
this one, it tends to be real dry. It tends to show up. So far, I mean, we've had a few reports, but nothing. Fortunately, we've not had anything like we did back in 2012.
That's anywhere. A good thing.
last year we did see a few kind of across the northern half of the state with as dry as it was last fall. But right now is about the time when that starts rearing its ugly head and
right.
It's one of those things. This time of the year, you're kind of waiting for that shoe to drop if it's actually going to happen. And obviously when people are out and about and they find a dead whitetail that's either in or near water, give us a call and let us know.
That's a pretty good indicator. Yeah.
Yep. That's a pretty good cue that's what's going on.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day with the drought conditions and the heat we've had out here. That seems to be, maybe not the perfect storm, but sure is a precursor for something like EHD to come up, move up from the south as it usually does.
Yeah.
I know we had... A few years back, we had some big issues with it, and I think our whitetail herd is doing fair, recovering from that. And then you mentioned up in the northern part of the state, some of the guys I know up around O'Neill, Norfolk, had said that they had dealt with it in a bigger than average way up there.
Yeah, yep, yeah, and it occurs, every year. We'll get a few reports or find some deer ourselves. From it, but it's just it's when it's these years when it's really dry and you just have that potential for it to be a fairly large scale.
Are there any special regulations related to deer hunting and public lands? I know there's a couple that get closed during deer season, but what's the kind of the status on that one?
We've got a few of our areas where, some bonus tags or antlers permits aren't valid on a lot of the like, for instance, the Southwest reservoirs, season choice permits, those Frenchman season choice permits aren't valid on, Enders, Medicine Creek, Swanson, and Red Willow, just to try to help maintain those deer populations, on those public lands. But we also do have a Southwest Reservoir season choice permit to just allow for some antlers harvest in case we need it or have a situation where we need to just keep some pressure on them without allowing all the antlers permits on them. That's one of them. I'm trying to think. I know that there's some of the OFW properties. You want to make sure you check in the public access atlas. Some of them allow. Have some different season restrictions and that. So,
I think the one I usually think of is up at Bessie Davis National Forest up at Halsey, and I think there's some restrictions up there too. So.
Yeah, yep, yeah, that's another one where the antlers permits are limited. So we can maintain some deer on those areas because those With being less than 3% public land in the state, our public lands get a lot of pressure. So we want to make sure that, you know, all that pressure isn't on the antlerless deer.
Exactly.
In those areas.
Another unique program that Nebraska has created is the Apprentice Hunter Program, and the exemption from having your hunter safety card for a while you're going through that. How does all that work?
Yeah, it allows you to sign up and get a certificate that, you know, says that you're hunting with somebody. I'm trying to remember, somebody licensed, I think 19 and older.
I think that's right. Yeah,
where you can actually go hunting along with them for a year without having your hunter safety, just so that having that hunter safety certificate isn't a barrier for somebody that is in a situation where they've got a good mentor or somebody that's going to take them, you know, so they don't get to the deer season and go, oh man, I don't have that, I can't go. This just allows for that opportunity to still let them go hunting while doing it in a safe manner and just accounting for those issues that pop up. So some people can get a taste of it without having to go through the whole structure of taking that formal class.
Right. And I think that's a good deal. I think it's I never want to block have some type of unnecessary block in the way of somebody that wants to go hunting. Cause
yeah, right.
We need all the hunters out there we can get.
Yeah, for sure.
Along the lines of that and considering the new hunters, what recommendations would you have for something that's getting into deer hunting maybe for the first time, be they a young hunter or maybe somebody that just hadn't had a chance to do it before? What kind of recommendations you got for them?
I would say for somebody new, if you can find somebody that could act as a mentor for you, that's your first best step, you know, whether it's, you know, helping you find the right equipment or you know, finding the right places to go or just advice to help out, because there's a lot of that that's intimidating, you know, to try to figure out on your own. There's a ton of resources online, you know, and I would make sure, you know, if you're going to go that route, you know, do some Google work and look up, because a lot of the questions you might have been asked for years. There's a lot of answers to those out there already. And you'll get better answers just by searching rather than posting your question on social media or something like that. The other part of it too is don't get overwhelmed with needing the biggest and the best equipment or worrying about necessarily even what you kill for that matter. I mean, it's, you know, when you're just starting out, just make sure you're having fun with it.
Exactly. I've written several columns here recently about related to camouflage. And that's one of the things I tell people. I said, you don't need to buy, you know, all the latest, greatest digital camo, whatever. Just have something where you kind of fit your surroundings and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Or even more important, keeps you warm or keeps you
true.
Dry.
That's, keeps you true.
It's not any fun. You can blend in, but if you're cold or wet, you're not going to last long. So
today would be the one where you would need a little protection from moisture, because we've got a mist in the air today.
Yeah.
And that type of climate seems to cut through your clothing quicker than just a steady cold. And
yeah.
It makes a day miserable in the blind. So
yeah, for sure.
Now I'm going to give you one of those questions. I get it every year, but if you're a experienced hunter, you almost cringe when you hear the question. The question is, what's the best rifle for deer hunting?
I have no idea. The one you can shoot good.
Exactly. Yeah. Over the years, that has become my standard answer. The best rifle for you is the one you can shoot the best.
Yeah,
because it doesn't make any difference whether you're hunting with a 223 or a 460 Weatherby Magnum.
Right.
If you can't shoot it, you're not going to do any good with it.
Yeah.
I used to think, the 22 caliber bullets, even though they, quote, met the energy requirements, were too small for hunting. And then one year I followed three different hunters around to do articles about their hunts, and every one of them used the .22-250. And man, every deer looked like it was like struck by lightning. They were down instantly.
Yeah.
And I've totally changed my thought process on that one. And then a lot of the AR platform guns, they can do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. As long as you get a good placement on your shot, you're good to go. And I, for work things where we've been asked to put down injured deer and things like that, I've killed more deer with a 22 long than any other caliber.
Well,
that I've worked with, and it works really well. But it's 100% shot placement.
Right. I think if you ask any game warden what caliber's taken more deer, they'll say the 22 long rifle.
Yeah.
But it's all illegal. But that's
yeah, for sure. But it's
The first time I heard that, it was a game warden that gave me that answer, and I went, "Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose you see a lot like that too."
Yeah, they deal with a lot that way. When I was in South Dakota, we worked a case where somebody shot one with a 177 pellet gun and threw the ribs and killed it. So
it can do it. I can see that happening.
Yep.
I'm sure you've seen some of the videos where in other states they're hunting with big air rifles, 30 calibers, 50 calibers, and they're taking deer and bigger game with it, and it's they're getting close to having the energy requirement for that.
Yeah,
some of those big ones, and as soon as they do, guess what? I'll be out there with one doing it just to try it.
Yeah.
Have you got a deer hunt lined up this year, Luke?
Oh, yeah, always. Yeah, we've got some ground here north of Lincoln that I got half a dozen trail cameras sitting on it right now. So,
oh, very good.
Way more trail cameras than I should probably be running on it. But yeah, always excited to get out and chase whitetails for sure.
So. It is. It's I think with those of us that are dyed-in-the-wool hunters, I think it's a genetic link. We've got to go do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got a couple minutes left in the show. What other points would you like to let people know about?
Boy.
We've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, we covered a lot of it pretty quick. Yeah, I guess back to the EHD, just to remind people that if they are seeing something, just let us know. Even if it's a phone call to, officer or one of our biologists, say, hey, we saw this many deer in this, part of this county, just to help us out that way, just so we can have a way to gauge that. Cause we record those, to help us gauge the overall impact, every year. Other than that, with our deer season is just, everybody get out there and have fun and remember why you're doing it. It's to have fun and put food on the table and not be pressured into, thinking we need to kill the biggest deer we've ever killed every year. So.
Yeah, that when you put your own pressure on it like that, that sometimes takes the fun out of the hunt.
Yeah.
I mean, that being said, I do primarily use the November firearm season as my trophy season. That's the one where I'm looking for antlers. And then later on in the muzzleloader or late antlerless season, that's just putting meat in the freezer then. Do you do muzzleloading as well?
Some. It depends on what I've got filled for permit at that point. So I do have – I've got an old TC Hawken
percussion
that I use and – so if I got a permit still valid, I'll try to get out there during then. Or if I've still got, if I've still got my statewide archery, I'm going to go sit in a tree with that. But at that time, but I'll still spend some time with the muzzleloader if I get antlerless permit.
The old smoke pole, yeah.
Yeah. No scope, no nothing.
Right.
Kicks like a mule.
Well, we're done for another show, sir. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with me.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And hopefully we can link up somewhere and do some hunting someday.
Yeah, sounds good.
So that's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.